Now, how many young men believe that when they're 18, 16, or 25, or 35, they go out of town and they go to the house of a prostitute, that they're going to open the door to a syphilis demon that's not going to manifest till they get to be 60 years old, and then their last years are going to die in excruciating pain with syphilis? But that's what the Bible teaches. You know, and people say, I don't believe in this stuff. I don't believe there's a devil. Well, I don't care if you believe it or not. It don't make no difference whether you believe it or not. If God wrote it in that book, let me tell you, it's sealed in granite. You know that? Now, are you glad all of a sudden that we got the blood of Jesus? But you know, what about the men that never learned about the blood of Jesus? They get these demons. They get this sickness and disease. I mean, do you know that, again, the other day I was listening to Dr. James Dodson, and I forget the exact numbers, but it was way up there, the number of young men and young women. I mean, it's something like 90 or 94% of young men have had a sexual encounter before they get married. And something like 70 or 75% of the young women had been involved in a sexual encounter before they got married. And he says it's something like 50 or 60% of the people today have some kind of a venereal disease. Isn't that awful? They never dream about it being them, do they? So they go out and have sex with some guy or some girl. And then all of a sudden they realize that something ain't right. Something ain't working. In fact, one of the women that I know, very personal, told me something one day when I said, you know, that if you're walking in obedience to God's word. Now, what that scripture said in 1 John 5:18, if you're not sinning, can the devil touch you? No. So let's say you're the wife and you're keeping yourself clean and pure and walking totally holy before God. Let's say you're married to some guy that don't do that. He's out playing the field. And then one day you find out he's got a very, very serious venereal disease. And you think, oh my gosh, I've been sleeping with this guy. He's my husband. But you ain't got no symptoms of no kind. None whatsoever. How in the world could I be sleeping with him as my husband and he's got this venereal disease which is contagious, but I don't have it? Do you see from the scripture how that can happen? If you're walking holy and obedient, what can the devil do to you? Ooh, he can't touch you. So you can be sleeping with your husband, that's a guy running around sleeping with others, and he may have this venereal disease that's very contagious, but you never got it. And if y'all couldn't reconcile after it was found out, and you found out he was an adulterer, and you divorced, and he went his own way, and you think, praise God, I didn't get it. Well, all you can say is, thank God I wasn't sinning. I was an obedient wife. As an obedient wife, you didn't get it. But now, what if you hadn't have been an obedient wife? What if you'd have been one of those wives that refused absolutely to submit to your husband in all things? You tell him how it's done. You try to run his life. You know what? You can get it. That's a door that you opened. And you can be sick. And until you repent of that sin, you can't be healed. Isn't that something? You know, if every young man had heard what I've said in the last 10 minutes, if they believed it, there'd be a lot of young men stop running around with these prostitutes. You know that? Because you know what? Young men, when they run around with a prostitute, they never dream that it's going to happen to me. I ain't going to get it. But they do. And there's no cure except for Jesus. Aren't we glad that we know Jesus? So the thing about it is, well, somebody said, well, gee, if I got the name of Jesus, then I just go ahead and go sin all I want to, and then I'll just use his name if I get sick. I don't think that's what he meant. Do you, young lady? No, I saw you shaking your head the minute I started talking. You said, no, that's not what the king meant when he said grace. That's not what he meant. You might stand on that grace one time, but after that he says, no more sin. Is that what he told the woman that he caught in adultery? Leave your life of sin. And that's also what he told, I think it's in John 5:14, I think that's where it is, where the man that had been sick for 38 years, he told him, he said, I'm going to heal you. But now leave your life of sin or something worse is going to come upon you. Is that what he told him? Do you think he meant that? So what's Jesus trying to tell us? Leave our life of sin. And if you leave your life of sin, you don't have to worry about sickness and disease. There is some kind of sin that brings sickness upon us. And we have to get rid of that sin. We have to walk holy and obedient to God's Word. Now then, in 1 Peter 2, 21 through 24, I want to show you another scripture, and we can use this in either one of the King James, NLT, whatever you want to put it up there in, Dave. King James would be fine. I have not written unto you because... Oh, that's the wrong scripture. First, what did I say? 1 Peter 2, 21. I don't know what I said, but probably 1 John, but I meant 1 Peter 2. How many of you have ever said something and you meant something else? Yeah. You've done this before too, huh? Okay. And somebody later said, I caught you in a lie. No, I didn't mean that, what I said. Your brain was going another direction, but anyway, for 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Now then, we had a show of hands a while ago. How many of us profess to be born-again Christians? And that was all of us. Now, if all of us are Christians, Jesus left you and me an example to follow, didn't he? Now then, I'm just going to ask this question point blank. How many of you think you can go through today, and every day for the next 6 months with no sin in your life? Hey, here's a girl who believes she can. Here's another one who believes she can. Is there anybody else who believes? Well, I'm going to try. Oh, that is not a very many of us. You know that? Now, let's put it this way. How many of us are going to, if we ask Jesus to help us, how many of us believe that it is possible for us to live the next 6 months with no sin in our life? Okay, we believe we can do it. Because do you think the king would command you to do something you couldn't do? No, absolutely not. These two girls up here, they got it. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. And his steps was, he did how much sin? No sin. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Do you think about three layers of 2-inch duct tape real tight, but might help me? You think that'd help me? Help you too. Where I got that, I was down on close to Corpus teaching one time, and I come up with that scripture, and there's a guy up here on the front, and he says, sir, I got a question. I said, okay, what's that? He said, I'm a contractor. I said, okay. He said, that's not possible. In the field I live in, to be no sin, no guile in my mouth. He said, that's not possible. I said, now, sir, you don't think Jesus would ask you to do something that was impossible? He said, well, no, I guess he wouldn't. But he says, okay, I know how I can do it. I said, how? He said, 3 layers of 2-inch duct tape really tightly around my head. I said, oh, that might help all of us. How difficult is it to go through the whole day with no guile in your mouth? Pretty tough, isn't it? Can we do it? Of course we can, because we're sons of God and daughters of God, led by the Holy Spirit. So as long as we let Him rule in our life, we can do it. He would never tell you and me to do something that's impossible, right? And so this is the first part of the commandments under the new covenant. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Verse 23 and 24. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. That's pretty tough. When somebody really gets on your case or says something you don't like, is it easy to retaliate? Oh, it's too easy, isn't it? It's too easy. So that means we got to stay in the Word. You know, we got to stay in the Word to be able to overcome this and keep our mouth shut. He reviled not again. When he suffered, even when he suffered, he threatened not. Do you see all these things in our Savior's? He was being beaten and bruised for you and me. I can't even imagine. Has anybody in here ever been hit by a bullwhip? Just a one-line bullwhip? You have? You must have been raised up on a farm or something, huh? Yeah. Well, you know, I was raised up on a farm, and one day my daddy was getting after a bull. Man, he had that bull whip out there with that little three-pointed leather on the end of it, you know, pow, to make him go where he wanted him to go. He'd come back like that and laid that thing right across me. Woo, man, you talk about hurting. I had clothes on, though. I had a shirt and T-shirt and everything, but it hurt, let me tell you, it hurt. Of course, Dad didn't mean to hit me with that thing. He was meaning to hit that bull, which he did him too. You know, but he hurt me. I mean, and I can only imagine that if you took the cat of nine tails and you stripped me off naked and you take a great big 220-pound Roman guard that he intends to kill me with that thing, bam! And he don't just do it one time, does he? He does it over and over and over. Now you can begin to realize that. And he was beaten to such a point that he was unrecognizable as a human being. No, you ain't got it. You haven't got a clue what that means. Me either. I tried to envision that. The closest thing I ever come to envisioning that was when I saw The Passion. How many of y'all saw the movie The Passion? Wasn't that awful? Your Savior and my Savior, he did that for you and me. Shouldn't that make us want to walk holy before Him? If He paid that price so you and me could be healed and be without sin, that ought to make us want to do that, shouldn't it? I mean, that was an awful movie, but they put it together, and I think that's probably the closest thing to reality that I've ever seen. The night I went to see it, when it was beating Him like that, some woman right over just a little ways from me passed out. And the guy stood up and said, "Could you turn the lights on, please? We need a doctor in the house. We need a doctor. A woman's passed out." I thought, by His stripes, we're healed. I said, I guarantee she ain't got it. She does not have it. She does not understand that. If she did, she would not even come close to passing out. But she didn't get it. She didn't know what he had done for her. But committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. That's the Father. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Now then, if you stay in the Word and you're dead to sin, if you are dead to sin, how many times a day can you sin if you're dead to sin?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, "This Book Is Alive," in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.